Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. Well, hello, my beautiful spiritual hustlers, and welcome back to the podcast. You guys, did I just kind of do a little Broadway ditty? Please no, I don't sing. I cannot sing. I am straight up tone deaf, but you know, we're here. I'm on the Spiritual Hustler Podcast coming at you. You guys are my faves. I'm absolutely obsessed with my community. And you guys, I swear I feel you in the ether all the time. And so thank you for feeling me. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming back week after week. If you are not new to the show, welcome. Here on the Spiritual Hustler Podcast, we talk about all things business and all things spirituality, blending them together in service of, you know it, the divine feminine rising. All right. We are here to learn how to do business, make money, lead movements, create an impact embodied in our sacred temples, these gorgeous sacred technologies called the human vessel that is holding our soul. And there are all sorts of ways to connect to that soul, to that power, to that abundance that really helps heal the planet. And I really, really don't want you to take your existence here for granted on Mother Earth. You were incarnated at this time for a very specific reason. And I believe, broadly speaking, that that reason is to remember who you really are so that you can go change the world, live your best life, create more love and beauty and oneness in the world in the way that only you can. So that's what we're up to here on the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the show, now is an amazing time to do it. Go check us out on YouTube, you guys. You can see our incredible conversations in person. Look at our cute designer outfits. Well, not designer, but they feel like designer because the women that walk through my space and some of the men all just have the most powerful energy and frequency and one-of-a-kind nature that you get to watch on YouTube, not just listen. And if you haven't left a review, please go ahead, take 5 seconds. Literally, now would be a beautiful time to do it. Leave us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, a couple sentences of how this show has impacted your life. It not only means the world to me personally, but it really does help the show grow. And of course, share this interview, share any conversation, whether it's my solos or the interviews that I do here in studio with a friend that needs to hear it. Now, speaking for a friend, I'm going to speak about my friend today that's coming through your earbuds or in your consciousness if you're watching this interview to really break down something that was quite elusive for most of my life. I'm going to be really real. I didn't actually ever really know what the nervous system was. I didn't know it. The power of it, that it existed, that I had one until about, I don't know, 3 years ago. So I'm 44. So like my early 40s, that term, the nervous system, came into my consciousness for the first time in my life because I was at a breaking point. Many of you guys know my story. I had reached the depths of my darkest burnout in 2022. Couldn't leave my house, was diagnosed with depression from building a massive business. While the whole world from the outside in thought that I was winning, I wanted to die on the inside. And that was really the biggest reckoning I have had in my spiritual journey. And I've had many rock bottoms, but that was definitely the darkest. And that dark void led me to Egypt, a country I went to visit at the end of that year and completely died. Had the biggest spiritual activation DNA upgrade of my entire timeline, and basically, my life for the last 3 years has been the integration and response to that experience, and everything turned around. I finally found my light And, you know, really the basis of this show, The Spiritual Hustler, has been one of the manifestations of that turning point. The nervous system, as I have traditionally understood it and have worked with it, was all around healing my body, healing my burnout, feeling more physically optimized, getting into a higher vibration with my vitality, how it would impact my work product and my productivity and my rest and my safety in my body and receiving money, and how it helped me really feel just more peaceful and grounded on a daily basis, which impacted my sleep and my immune system and all of the things that I'm sure you really understand that the nervous system holds and what it can really do to catapult your life. But my guest today, my sister, Lauren Zoeller, is coming in today, is leading a brand new conversation about the nervous system and what it really actually can do to optimize your life. It's beyond the body. It's beyond rest and safety. It actually is a portal into miracles and manifestation. So when you work with your nervous system in the way that Lauren Zoeller teaches and guides her community through her incredible programs, memberships, masterminds, retreats, one-to-one work, you're not just creating more safety in the body and calm in your day-to-day life. You are calling in your dream partner in romantic love. You are quantum leaping your bank account. You are thinking of something in your mind, and in a matter of hours or days, it shows up. Lauren is a priestess. I don't know if she'd call herself that, but I look at her like a priestess teacher of the codes of science, energetics, meets the universe, meets actually unlimited magic. And when you listen to Lauren, you can hear how embodied she is in these teachings. Her entire life story is a testimony to the power of using the nervous system as a portal into creating a life beyond your wildest dreams. She is a seven-figure entrepreneur, a somatic experiencing practitioner. She's the host of the Aligned Love podcast, acclaimed speaker, and visionary founder of the Aligned Experience and trauma-trained relational somatics experience. She is recognized as a leading authority in reparenting, generational healing, and somatic transformation. She's been featured on The Drew Barrymore Show, The New York Post, Business Insider, NBC News, Shape Magazine, and many, many other outlets. She's a sought-after speaker, and that's because she's known for her entirely new, fresh perspective on embodiment, attachment theory, somatic healing, and nervous system-based leadership. There is really no one like Lauren Zoeller in the space, and I have been blessed to really get to know her. We're actually located here in Nashville together. We spent a ton of time together, and Lauren is my teacher. Because I really feel like personally, I have just cracked the surface when it comes to healing my own nervous system to allow me to live a life that feels more harmonic and balanced and peaceful and grounded. And now with Lauren's message, I know that is only the beginning. So get ready for a juicy conversation. Take notes, take a breath, take it in, because Lauren Zoeller is here to completely open up the limitless possibilities in your love life, in your bank account, in your business, in your everyday, with the unmatched power and magic of the nervous system. And so, without further ado, here is my amazing conversation with Lauren Zoeller. Lauren Zoeller, my sister, welcome to the Spiritual Hustler podcast.
I'm so excited to be here.
I fell in love with you the second I met you. It was back in a green room of a crazy conference. And you were about to go on stage, and I was there to go on stage a few hours after you, and I was so nervous.
Me too.
But you wouldn't have, who doesn't get nervous? But yeah, your energy was so grounded and calming and powerful. Mm. And I'm so grateful the timelines have led us here.
Yeah.
It's like meant to be.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's wild. I remember you walking in. I remember exactly what you were wearing. And I said to, somebody was backstage with me. And I remember saying to him, we're supposed to be in each other's worlds.
I remember that too. Yeah.
Yeah, it was wild.
And I knew we would be. And here you are. We're sisters in all the ways. So you talk about so many beautiful things that women need to hear. I really love your messaging on the nervous system and somatics and love and really spirituality, because you use a lot of the science, but you're an energetics coded master of the new earth, in my view. Your work, I know, is rooted in your journey.
Yeah.
You're in love. You have a beautiful partnership, but it wasn't always like this. This was relatively new. You've manifested Nathan into your life. So can we start with your story, particularly around love and relationships and what that journey was like for you in the shadows?
Yeah.
Before you came into this light?
Yeah. I mean, gosh, it has been, I always say that my work came through the lens of relationships. Mm. I think that some people, you know, some people learn it through family dynamics and some people learn it through business or maybe your health journey. Mine has been through relationships, and I really walked through the fire with relationships for as long as I can remember.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it like a thing that started as soon as you started dating?
As soon as I started dating.
Wow.
And I remember even being young and wanting just intimate, healthy love from the moment that I could even think about men and relationships. Wow. But it was something that really never came easy to me. And I'll say that, you know, just for the sake of time, I had a pattern of dating addicts in my past. And I, preferably, the addiction of choice was alcohol. Mm. And there was a time where I realized that I had dated, I was on my fourth alcoholic in a row.
Damn.
Yeah. In my late 20s. And for whatever reason, that fourth alcoholic was the wake up call for me, because I was like, wait a second. I don't have a history of alcoholism in my family. Nobody really abuses alcohol. What's going on? Like, why am I really struggling in this department of continuing to attract men who had an addiction to alcohol? And about 8 years ago was really the turning point for me.
Okay.
I had been dating a guy who—
The fourth alcoholic.
Okay. Yep. It was also, I like to bring in where my life was in general at that time.
Great.
Because at that time I had started my own business.
Okay.
I was pretty successful on the outside. Like, it looked like I was being featured in the New York Times, damn, NBC News. I was business coaching at that time.
Okay.
So things were going well. On the outside, it looked like I was living the life, right? I was traveling and had this, I called him my Ken doll, had this beautiful Ken doll by my side. And on social media, it looked like I had this perfect life, right? Mm-hmm. And at that time, I had a therapist. I had a coach. I was reading all of the personal development books. I was reciting affirmations in the mirror every single day. Like, I was drinking my green juice. I was cold plunging before it was cool. I was doing all the things, right, that we're taught to do as successful women. Mm-hmm.
All right, sisters, let me ask you a question. Are you finally ready to sync your inner rhythm and system with the wisdom of the earth and the cosmos? I am so excited to introduce you to Microflow, the cleanest, most high vibrational magic mushroom microdosing supplements on the market. I have been taking them for the last 3 years, and they have completely altered my consciousness, shape-shifted my body, expanded me into infinite abundance, and healed my nervous system. They are 100% organically grown, third-party lab-tested, Reiki-infused, and intentionally formulated by renowned root cause health expert Christy Nault, making Microflow the only microdose supplement on the market that is cycle syncing and designed to support the female nervous system. The Exude and Surrender bundle is a beautiful entry point. Rotate them with your cycle or the moon like I do. This bundle includes Exude for heart-opening, radiant, expressive energy that I love to take during my follicular and ovulation phases, and Surrender for softening, deep nourishment, and inner reconnection during my luteal and menstrual phases. These blends help you drop out of your head and into your heart and truly embody your divine feminine essence. Now, if you're looking to go a little bit deeper into ceremony, healing, and 7D consciousness, the Theta blend made with sacred blue lotus is for you. Now, there's a bonus. When you get the Theta blend, you'll get access to Christy's full ceremonial recordings with your purchase. Microdosing is the future, you guys. It isn't about getting tripped out or bypassing yourself spiritually. It's about coming home to your body, to your soul, and to your truth. I cannot recommend Microflow enough. I have dabbled with other supplements throughout my life, and nothing has truly recalibrated my entire system with feminine ease the way that Microflow has. It has truly changed my life, and I want this for you. So go to microflowhealing.com and enter code Jessica10 to get $10 off your order. That's microflowhealing.com and enter Jessica10 to get $10 off of your order.
And one Wednesday morning, I was standing in front of my mirror reciting my affirmations, and my phone started going crazy. And I realized it was my boyfriend at the time, his mom. And I stopped mid-affirmation. I picked up my phone for her to tell me that he had checked himself into rehab for the sixth time that year.
That year?
That year. In 1 year.
Wow.
In 1 year. Later that day, just to give everybody just how rock bottom this was, later that day, I got another call from my accountant calling to let me know that my business was 30K in the red. Mm. And we were just plummeting. Mm. Because I was spending quicker than I could make. It was coming in, and it was coming in fast, and I was just spending. Like I couldn't stop. And then the third call that day was from my doctor calling to let me know that I had a potential cancer scare.
This all happened in the same day.
In 24 hours.
Oh my God.
And for whatever reason in that moment, that was my rock bottom. And I was like, what is happening? My health is plummeting. My business is tanking. And here I am dating this man that on the outside, everybody thought was, you know, a great guy, but he had these demons, right? That he was really battling. And so I recognized in that moment that something had to shift. Mm. There was something that I wasn't getting. And I called my best friend, and at that time, she had been seeing a somatic therapist.
So somatics was not at all a part of your life?
Not a part of my life. Up to this point.
And you were working with a therapist, a coach, but no one was addressing.
Nobody was addressing the body.
The body.
Nobody was addressing anything to do with somatic experiencing or what was happening in my nervous system. So I called her, and she said, you know, I've been seeing this somatic practitioner, and I really think that you should try it out. And at this point, Jess, like I was probably, with the amount of money that I had thrown into personal development and therapy at this point.
Say less.
You know, like yeah. I could have funded a business with what I had spent with my therapy team and my coaching team. And I was like, I resisted it for a while. I'm like, I cannot spend another penny on my personal development, on trying to figure this out. I'm just going to figure it out on my own. That didn't work. And so I eventually made my way into working with a somatic practitioner. And I will never forget, I walked out of that first 1 hour session with her, and I felt viscerally like I could breathe.
Wow.
There was relief. And the beauty of the story was 6 months later, I came into my first healthy relationship. Wow. In my early 30s, right? I was like 33 at the time. And that was a beautiful relationship. All my relationships past then have been really, really beautiful relationships. I took my business from 30K in debt to making 30K in one launch.
Amazing.
Right? And I eradicated my cancer scare.
Holy shit. From the somatic work.
From the somatic work. From being in it for 6 months. I ended up going back and retesting and everything came back clean.
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
So I realized in that moment, like, whoa, wait a second. There's a huge missing piece that most women are not getting. And it's that we have to work with the nervous system. We have to work with the body. Cognitive processing is not enough. It's only 20% of the puzzle. And so then I went back, became a somatic practitioner and dedicated my life to this work. And here we are.
Oh my, Lauren, I know your story, but that I did not know.
Yeah. Wild.
So I want to click into love and relationships because so many women, especially women in my community, are either struggling to be in a relationship because of so many reasons, but they're too busy. They haven't made that a priority. They are in their masculine, feminine power hustle. Mm-hmm. They haven't healed their trauma. And then there's women like me and you that like relationships just never get easier.
Yeah.
They're beautiful spiritual containers for growth. I think the greatest of them all, like you were saying. Can you tie the dots together around when it comes to manifesting a partner or just improving the quality of your relationship that you might be in, how the nervous system specifically plays into that? I know that was a huge ongoing journey and I've been following your story for a while since we met. And you've got this incredible man and you really talk about how it was the way you regulated your body mm-hmm. that manifested that. So can you like crack that open and connect the dots for us on how that works?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, the first thing that we have to look at is we all know that there are some people that may not know that our nervous system has two functions.
Okay.
And the first function is to get us the heck out of Dodge when there is threat present. Mm-hmm. And the second function of the nervous system is rest, digest, safety, right? There's this part of us that wants to feel safe. But what happens over time, especially in relationships, from the very first intimate relationship that we have, which is with our mom and our dad, is that our mom and dads are imperfect humans. They've experienced things. And so that because we are relating with them, there's ruptures that happen.
Yeah.
Right? Whether we have perfectly secure parents or not, there's going to be rupture. And when these ruptures happen in relationships, it causes our tiny little nervous system to go into a survival response because what we need the most as a child is love and acceptance and belonging.
Yes.
And mom and dad are human and they're stressed and they're dealing with life. And so naturally there's going to be ruptures regardless of what you've experienced in your upbringing. And if we don't look at the survival response that our nervous system went into to deal with those ruptures when we were little, and we don't ever take a magnifying glass to them,
yeah,
they are going to show up in our adult relationships. And they're going to show up in the way that we attract partnership because we're going to subconsciously go into those survival responses to feel safe in a dynamic because that's what we learned as a kiddo. So for my particular story, and maybe people can resonate with this, I talked about addicts.
Yeah.
There, as I said, there was no history of addiction in my family, but I grew up in a long line of Polish women.
Okay.
And Polish women are extremely selfless. So I was taught at a young age, you don't get to sit down and eat your dinner until everybody else has eaten first.
Jesus.
And if someone else is happy, then you can be happy. And when I started to look at the lineage and like really dissect my nervous system responses and my generational wounds, my great grandmother came over here from Poland and her husband at the time said, listen, we just need to be accepted. We just need to belong. So do whatever you need to do to just get us to belong. And so she went into what we call the fawn survival response, people pleasing. She went into this survival response to stay safe, to belong, to be accepted.
Wow.
And there was never a container for her to feel safe in connection to renegotiate that. Mm. So naturally, my grandmother learned it. Mm. And then my mom learned it. And then it was passed down to me. And so what I recognized when I slowed down enough and I got into the nervous system work was I was actually no different than the addict, than the alcoholic. He would go to booze to feel a sense of belonging. I would go to him if I could help him, if I could be the one that was there for him when he got out of rehab, if I could get him to rehab. Oh. If he was okay, then I was okay. And it was that familiar fawn response that I learned as a child that was playing out in the way that I attracted men, in the way that I showed up in relationship, because that was so familiar in my nervous system. So I had to reparent that. And this is why if we don't take the time to slow down and understand how these survival responses play out in the way that we attract, mm-hmm. in the way that we show up in relationship, mm-hmm. we're going to be subconsciously repeating patterns and not knowing why. And I always say that your reality, whatever you attract in your relationships, whatever you attract in the dating world, it's a mirror.
Yeah.
Right? It is a reflection of what's happening internally. And that's where we have to start to connect the dots and get curious.
So you do this through, you have your collective program, you have a beautiful retreat, you have a mastermind called Expansion. It's the core of your work. And I know that you really lead women through the lens of love and reparenting themselves that impacts their life, not yeah. just their love and relationships, like their success, their confidence, their empowerment, embodiment, everywhere you show up. And you have this journey, and we talked about this, and I really want you to break it down because I think it's your perspective and thought leadership, which is so brilliant. There's a, and people are familiar with like victim consciousness, mm-hmm. right? Which is a vibration, yeah. a state of being, into responsibility, into truth, mm-hmm. and into freedom.
Yeah.
And that's the journey that you take your community through. And so can you explain what that means
yeah.
and what happens as we journey up through this process?
Yeah. So I truly believe that, you know, when we talk about frequency,
yeah.
we're talking about what is our predominant state. And oftentimes, and I just want to clarify this before we have the conversation, most people think that if I feel sadness or if I feel anger, then I'm in a lower vibrational frequency state. And the first thing that I want everyone to hear is that we're going to talk about these frequencies, whether you are in victim frequency or what I believe to be a higher frequency, freedom frequency, you're still going to feel anger. You're still going to feel sadness. You are meant to feel the whole range of emotions, regardless of the frequency that you're in. And so I want to say that before we even talk about the latter.
Beautiful.
Because people often think, well, I'm just supposed to be happy all the time. And I'm just supposed to be in this like freedom, like la la butterflies and unicorn state. And that doesn't seem like it's possible. And that's not the truth. And so I want to give that
beautiful
disclaimer before we start. But when women make their way into my world, I really believe that they work through, my goal is to get them to the space where they're operating in freedom frequency, because I believe in that space. I mean, I just, on the way here, one of my women in my expansion mastermind just told me that she landed her own TV show.
Damn.
Right? And she has been just playing small for so long. And she said, I feel like because I've tapped into freedom frequency, anything is possible. Right? And I had another woman this week that just landed her dream job as a CFO and claimed a very high salary for herself, which they didn't come out of the gate giving her. And she held her ground and she got it.
She held a frequency.
And yeah. so my goal is to get women to that space. Mm. But when they come into my world, I want to talk about some lower vibrational frequency states first, because when we look at shame and we look at blame and we look at judgment, these are what I tend to label as lower vibrational frequency states. And you, again, you can still feel happiness and you can feel sadness when you are in the frequency of blame. But blame in and of itself is a frequency that you're operating in as your predominant frequency. You're always pointing your finger at the other person. You're never taking self-responsibility. You think everything in the world is against you.
Or someone else's fault.
Or it's someone else's fault. Mm-hmm. And it's easier to just point the finger than step into what I believe to be the first rung of the higher vibrational frequency states, which is responsibility.
All right, guys, let's get real. What's the energy in your home saying about you? I believe that the way we design our spaces is a reflection of how deeply we honor ourselves. And that's why I am so excited about my partnership with California Closets of Nashville. Their motto, I'm obsessed, dream bigger. And that's exactly what they help me to do, not just in my home, but how I see myself every single day. Their team helped me reimagine my space from the inside out. It's the closet I never knew I needed, with custom touches that feel like they were plucked right out of my soul, down to a dedicated space for my sage and card decks, okay? Imagine waking up and walking into a space that makes you feel held, supported, organized, elevated, a place where your morning routine becomes a sacred ritual, not a chaotic scramble. When your outer world aligns with your inner world, that's when magic happens. So if you're in the Nashville area, this is your invitation. Visit the link in the show notes and book your free design consultation today. Yep, it's free. Dream bigger, sisters. And when you do, you live deeper.
So I like to say that the women who make their way into my world, they're done with the lower vibrational frequency states. Like, for you to say, yes, I'm ready to come into Lauren's world, you're not in blame and shame and fear as your predominant frequency. You're saying, okay, I'm starting to recognize that my reality is a reflection of what's happening internally.
Damn.
And that's the first step. When women make their way into my collective program, they're usually in the space of responsibility. They're saying, I'm ready. I'm ready to understand my nervous system. I'm ready to take responsibility for what's showing up in my life. I realize it's a reflection of me. And as they come into the collective and we start to do the nervous system work, the next rung up in the frequency ladder that I like to teach from is compassion, gratitude. Because we can be in self-responsibility and we can say, my reality is a reflection of what's happening inside. But then if we stay in that frequency, what we're not doing is saying, yeah, but it's a reflection, but it's a beautiful reflection because these survival responses protected me. Mm-hmm. They got me to where I am right now.
Right.
And I can have gratitude for that and also want to shift them. And so that is the compassion piece. That's the next rung up. So it's, how do we take self-responsibility, and then how do we have compassion and gratitude for how beautiful these survival responses served us?
Huge.
To this point.
Yeah.
And then once we get there, the world starts to open up. We start to recognize, oh, wow, like, if I hang out in self-responsibility and gratitude, compassion, I start to attract differently.
So true.
Right?
So, like, true.
This is where healthy men started to make their way into my world. And I was like, whoa. You were here. I was pretty determined that the dating apps don't work, that there's no men in Nashville, that, you know, fill in the blanks, whatever the victim consciousness is.
Yes.
And when you start to shift into that space by doing the nervous system work, you start to attract differently, right? But that's not where it stops, because from there, and this is where I think my work really gets interesting, is when things are starting to come in that are more in alignment with what you desire, you start to be able to really hear your desires, like the root of your desires. And you recognize, whoa, like, I'm worthy of these.
Ooh, I just got the chills.
Right? Like, I get to have this. Like, I get to have not just a man, but
anything I want.
Anything I want. A great father, a man who can actually have emotionally in-depth conversations with me, a man who wants to grow, a man who's successful and like just a great partner all around and loves the things that I love and wants to build a dream. Like you get to have so much more. And that's when we start to shift into what I call truth frequency, which it's like, what is the truth of what I actually desire? Unapologetically, what is that? Like, I am worthy of a global movement. I am worthy of having an incredible body, of having wonderful sisterhood. Like, what is it that I actually want? That's truth frequency. Ugh. And then when we tap into that, we then start to expand and we understand like, the sky's the limit. Freedom is here. And when I continue to tap into my desires and know that I'm worthy of them, and I show up unapologetically, regardless of what people think about what I have to say, I get to stay in that freedom frequency. And that's when things start coming. That's when you land the TV show. And that's when you land your dream CFO job. And that's where the expansion really starts to happen.
I want to cry. I'm like emotional listening to you to explain this. This is a book. This is your book.
I know.
But
I know.
It's honestly unlike anything I've ever heard anyone else explain. It's interesting as you're talking, like I've lived that path. I've been in victim consciousness. I was actually there most of my life till I was like 36 years old. And then it's such an upgrade and a leap tapping into responsibility, but that compassion, gratitude, transition into truth, I would call that alignment.
Yeah.
You know, with your higher self.
Yeah.
With the quantum, with the frequencies of the infinite source intelligence of the universe. And then you get to manifest it and channel it and make it real. Mm-hmm. I want to come back to, as you were talking about this, you know, the 20% is cognitive, mm-hmm. the rest is physical, somatic. I remember going into gratitude, like consciously, and having my life shift and change. And I think I was just doing this naturally, but you're the expert at this. And if we can really like crack into it, how do we, you know, you use the word reparenting, like what are some of the practices, some of the tools that you use or that you recommend or you guide your women through to really shift their frequencies in their bodies?
Yeah. So one of my favorite tools that I love to use, and when you work with me, this is a little bit of cognitive and nervous system work together.
Cool.
But most of the women that come in, we'll just use I'll use one of my stories.
Please.
Just because it resonates with people. I had this deep belief that every man leaves. That was one of my beliefs that was really hard for me to overcome when I was single and starting to do nervous system work. And I just kept orienting to it. Every man leaves. And the reality was that every man was leaving. There wasn't a man that was staying, whether it be because he wasn't in alignment with what I desired or he didn't want the relationship. That belief kept becoming deeply ingrained and I could feel it. Like it was something that felt so real. Yeah. It's the thing about beliefs is that we build what I like to call a case file around it. So I'll never forget, I was sitting with my girlfriend, and this was a somatic wake up moment. I now do this with my clients. She didn't know she did it at the time, but I had been in a relationship with a guy. It had ended and I was sitting on her couch and I was just sobbing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just don't understand why everybody always leaves. And she looked at me in a loving way, but also a really harsh way. And she was like, I wish you would stop.
Good friend.
Yeah. She was like, because I've never left. I've never left you. And all you say is that everybody always leaves. And I've been here. Like we have almost broken up over matcha. We've had the biggest fights and we've still chosen into each other. I've never left. So when you say that everybody leaves, it hurts.
Wow.
And I recognized in that moment that my nervous system had created a case file that felt so familiar, orienting to everybody leaves, but it just wasn't true. So I tell women all the time, what do you believe? And then what's the opposite of that belief? Because the opposite of that belief is that people don't leave. And then what proof do you have that that case file exists? And for me, I had to keep orienting myself to Kristen has never left. Lily has never left. My mom has never left. My dad has never left. My brother has never, like all these people that have never left me. And then I started to notice, how does that feel in my body to notice these people around me? Wow. To notice that people have never left. How do I feel that? And I started to feel expansive. I started to feel warmth in my low belly versus the other case file felt like constriction, felt like I was being literally strangled and abandoned. Mm. And so I had to consciously start building that case file. And when I felt that old belief come in, I had to stop and I had to orient to the new case file. And I had to write it down. It's a practice, but it's one thing to write it down and know it consciously. It's another to let yourself feel what it feels like in your nervous system to be in that truth, which is, I've had people around me all the time. It's not true that people leave.
So thank you for sharing that. Crying off my makeup that I paid for. So you write it down.
Yeah.
Right? You have that as a practice, as a tool. Mm-hmm. And that infuses its way into your body. Can you explain the neuroscience behind how that works?
Yeah. So when we are in a survival response, our nervous system gives us clues that it's in a response. So there are four main survival responses. There's fight, there's flight, which most of us know about, there's freeze, and then there's fawn, which is people pleasing. And fawning shows up very similarly to freeze in the system. So if we just look really quick at some of the symptoms of them, fight is just like it sounds, right? Your heart rate's going to elevate. You may notice that your hands clench and your feet feel like they want to kick. Mm-hmm. You may notice that there's knots in your belly. Mm-hmm. That's the fight response. The flight response looks like fleeing. So again, heart rate lifts. You may notice your heels lift or you actually want to exit the room. Mm. Right? This is the flight response. Yeah. Freeze is deer in headlights. It's a disassociation. You will notice that you might have cold hands and feet, that your heart rate is almost undetectable. You can't.
That's my default. Yep.
Yeah, same.
Know it well.
A lot of women know freeze really well. Mm-hmm. And then fawn is the same. Our nervous, if fawn is interesting because people say, well, people pleasing is very vocal. Like people are actually people pleasing. But if we put a heart rate monitor on you and we actually looked at your physiology, you would be frozen inside. You may be peacocking on the outside. There's a little bit of sympathetic charge to get you to peacock, but internally you're frozen. And so when we look at these different responses in the body, when I was orienting to men always leave, people always leave, I noticed there was so much freeze on board. Mm. Like I was like completely disassociated. I would oscillate between freeze and then so much anxiety.
Totally.
So much flight. And so that was giving me the signal that I was in a survival response. Whereas when I looked at my best friend, Kristen and Lily, and I started to orient to the case file of there are people that don't leave.
Yeah.
I started to notice that my belly was relaxed.
Yeah.
I started to notice that my heart rate felt like it was normal. I wasn't sweating. I could orient to my surroundings and notice that I was safe. Mm. And so my nervous system was feeling what we call ventral vagal connection. It was feeling safety in that moment. And so I was renegotiating this response of a belief that had become familiar in my nervous system, but wasn't actually true and real. So we write it down, and then that's the first step. Then the second step is, what happens when I let myself really orient to these things? What do I notice in my body? Because most people don't want to take that second step.
Right.
They just want to cognitively write it down and be like, okay, I journaled about it. I'm good.
Uh-huh.
But we have to slow down enough to look at how does my body respond to this new case file to renegotiate it.
Okay. So this leads into my next question. Thank you for that breakdown.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm with you, I feel regulated.
Good. Co-regulation.
You clearly have like such a presence, like your energy. And I know people can feel it listening, but I see Lauren in person often, and it's who you are now. And I think it's one thing to, and it's important to in states of activation, when we are dysregulated, to have these tools in like moments of abandonment or panic or hurt or whatever it might be. But I am so fascinated by what is your sort of daily maintenance? Like, what do you do every morning? What do you do every week? What do you do at night before you go to bed? Like, can you please just give us like the detailed hacks that, because you live and breathe and embody nervous system regulation. You don't just teach it. You are the embodiment of it. Yeah. So I'm really curious to know what you do.
Oh my gosh. This is me being truthful. Not a lot.
You probably don't need to at this point.
I mean, well, yeah, because it feels like it's maintenance at this point.
Yeah.
When I first got into nervous system work, I was using all of the tools, right? I was voo every night before bed because freeze was my go-to, and I would notice like throughout my day, I was in freeze a lot. And so vooing is a great tool that you can
use. What is vooing?
Vooing is just taking an inhale and actually making the sound voo.
Oh, wow.
As you exhale out. It stimulates the vagus nerve.
And how long do you do that for? How many times?
Actually, you do it 5 times until you run out of breath. And what happens is it stimulates the vagus nerve, and it sends the rest and digest signal to your brain that, hey, we're not in threat. It's okay.
And it gets you into parasympathetic? Yes. Is that what it's doing?
Yeah. Well, and not to get too scientific.
Let's go there. I like
it.
Okay,
great.
Yeah.
So the vagus nerve, we look at polyvagal theory. Both freeze and fawn and safety are in the parasympathetic branch.
Interesting.
But there's two branches to the parasympathetic branch, which is complete. We call it dorsal vagal shutdown, which is like the e-brake gets pulled. So imagine you're driving the car and then you pull the e-brake. That's freeze. It's like your e-brake gets pulled. You are in sympathetic charge. You're just in shutdown.
Got it.
Parasympathetic nervous system is like, we're tapped out.
We're
playing dead, right? We want healthy vagal toning. We want healthy access to the parasympathetic branch, which is ventral vagal connection. That's safety. Still part of the parasympathetic branch. It's just that one is complete overload and the other one is, all right, I'm like here and I can rest and digest and notice that I'm okay.
Mm.
Right? So vooing can help with your vagal tone. It can help your nervous system decipher what actually is a threat and what isn't.
And so you would do that at night consistently.
I would do it at night. And I would do it throughout the day when I noticed I was
frozen. Breathe in, breathe out, the sound voo.
Yeah, so you breathe in and then you just voo until you run out of air.
Okay.
And notice, you will feel different in your body. You'll start to feel like there's some sort of settling that happens.
Beautiful.
Inside of your nervous system. So I would do that. I would say now, you know, I still have a really strong visualization and meditation practice. So I do that. We live out half the time at our bed and breakfast, which is out in Lynchburg. And we have chickens and we have a kitty cat that just had kittens and we have a Great Dane.
So, living your best life. What a
seriously,
dream.
I know. So usually my morning is connecting with the earth. Like I will get up and go.
So important.
You know, get the eggs from the coop and be with the dog and be with the cat. But it's not something that really shifted for me when I came into nervous system work.
You know, when we first met, you gave that talk.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, like double take, because you kind of are counterculture to like the morning routine conversation. Can we talk about
this? Yes, please. I would love to talk about it.
Break it down, what you do and why you don't have one and how you guide people to rethink this.
Yes. Well, first thing I will say is there's so many things on the internet right now of things that you're supposed to do, right? Cold plunging, saunas, breath work,
grounding,
tapping, all the things. And I will work with people sometimes. They will come in and I'm like, you have a 2-hour morning routine? Like, is it working? What's happening?
Clearly not, because you're here.
Clearly not, because you're here. And what we need to realize is that our nervous systems are flexible. What we need one day, it's not going to be what we need the next. Because life be lifin'. Yeah. Life happens. And some days you're going to go through seasons of stress and you're going to need to spend an extra 20 minutes outside grounding. Sometimes you're going to feel really great and you may just want to sit in a meditation and feel like you can really ground into where you are. The goal is to understand what does my nervous system need today? Mm-hmm. What does it need in this moment? And when we start to learn the language of our nervous system, we start to understand what we actually need. And I'll give you an example of this. Cold plunging is so cool right now. Right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's cold plunging. Cold plunging can actually be very detrimental to somebody who has an overdeveloped relationship to flight and freeze.
So I shouldn't do that this weekend
because I was planning on it. Check in with your nervous system.
I'm so appreciating you saying that because it is actually, no one really enjoys cold plunging, and not to go too deep on that, but I think it's so important what you're saying is to intuitively connect with where you are versus following a playbook or a trend.
Right.
Or something that maybe worked for you last month.
Yeah. Because it may not work for you.
Correct.
This month. And cold plunging is amazing. Mm-hmm. I cold plunge all the time. I love the sauna. I like live in the sauna.
Same.
I love breath work. But even to breath, if we look at breath work, like Kalabhati breath work, which is fire igniting breath work, it can be too much for somebody who's experiencing a lot of stress. And it will blow what we call their window of tolerance. It won't be helpful to them. It will re-traumatize them. I hate that word, is kind of harsh, but it will send them back into that flight response, which is more detrimental than what the breath work was there to complete for them. So we just have to, when you learn the language of your nervous system and you learn how to really listen to your body knows what it needs. Mm. And that's the work that I hope women wake up to is waking up in the morning and saying, what do I need today?
Yeah.
That's more powerful.
So that's what you practice.
Yeah.
It's working for you.
It's working for me. It's great. You know?
Incredible.
Yeah.
I just want to ask you one last question, because I think that women who are looking for love and manifesting that part of their life, once they really crack into that piece, I think you really open the doorway into, you can manifest anything, as you were explaining. And I was watching something you did over a couple of days ago, and you were talking about how you're in France, mm-hmm. and you're like, I want to see a duck with a dress on or something like that.
Yeah.
And tell the story of that, but tell us what you were doing, like where you were frequency-wise, energetically, somatically, mentally, for such a small thing, but it meant like
so much.
Yeah. Explain.
So I went to France, and I went with two of my sisters who I adore, my friend Jenny, who's a spiritual medium, and we just play. When I love being in her energy, because it's nothing is off limits. You know, we just
love
play
like
in
that.
The spiritual realm. It's so fun. And then my friend Jane, who is a Montessori teacher, who we just love. She just has playful energy. And we went to France to do the Mary Magdalene walk.
So good.
Yeah. So we had spent quite a bit of time just connecting in the quantum field to some of these goddesses that I truly believe led us here, right? Like, we are following their path. And so we had really profound experiences that were happening before this moment. But we had finished the retreat that we were on, the Mary Magdalene walk, and we were heading to this little tiny town in France that we were just going to have a 3 to 4 day girls wine excursion before we flew back to the States. And we were talking about in the car, because we had a car, like an hour car ride, we were talking about signs and our relationship to signs and how we all were feeling. Things were just happening left and right that can't be explained, right, in human terms. And Jenny was like, well, let's keep playing. What do we want to see? What do we want to see? And we were talking about the book Signs. Have you read the book Signs?
No.
I forget who it's by. It's fantastic.
I need to read that.
She talks about when we develop a relationship with spirit and we start to ask for signs, we have to go big. And it can't just be, I want to see a butterfly, or I want to see a bumblebee, or I want to see a blue rock, right? She says, if you're going to like have a relationship with spirit, go big or go home.
Love
so
it.
That you can feel that deep connection. So Jenny had a flying pig was her sign. And I had picked, I want to see a chicken in a dress. Like, where are you going to see a chicken in a dress, right? So in that moment, claimed it, felt it in my body. It felt expansive. Okay. All right. And then we just went on with our day. Okay. We just released it and went on. We get to where we're going and the girls drop me off at our villa and they said, hey, I had to pee really bad because we had been on the car ride and we couldn't stop. They're like, you go pee. We're going to go park the car and get the luggage and we'll meet you inside in a second. So I go into the villa and I go up to the second floor because there's this windy staircase and I go to the bathroom and I come out of the door. I open the door and sitting on the mantle, staring at me, is a chicken in a dress. I'm not shitting you. I don't know if I can cuss on this podcast.
You could totally fucking cuss on this podcast. Great. I say it all the time.
I was like, Taylor. I felt, and what I felt in that moment was my whole body lit up and I was frozen. I was just like, oh my God. And I've had moments like this, but this was very specific.
Yeah.
A chicken in a dress. I'll have to post the picture.
Of course you took a photo.
Oh, of course I took a photo.
That is amazing. Because
I took a photo and I sent it to my girlfriends and they were like, of course. Right. But that's the frequency we live in. Of course.
Well, I was just going to say that it wasn't like, oh my God, that nervous, that activates like, yes.
Yeah.
It's embodied. You receive it. You hold it. It's like so obvious.
Yes.
Yeah. That of course would happen.
Of course it would happen.
And to stay in that, like to expect it.
Yep. And then the whole rest of the night, it was Jenny said that she wanted to see magic. And we go to dinner. Some guy shows up and magic show. I'm like, you know, so it's just like when you're in that frequency,
yes,
you just
possible.
Become an energetic match. And of course she saw her flying pig. Like we saw everything that we had claimed. And it's, this is what it looks like to come full circle and to be in that space of there's so much flexibility in your nervous system. And you know that what is meant for you, it's just meant for you. There's no ifs, ands, or buts around it. And if it doesn't come through, it wasn't. It's the best or better. You get something better. And so being unattached to that is what calls everything in.
Lauren Zoller, I want to just say this. All of the aspirations and dreams and goals and healing and manifestations that I know my community is here to learn how to create in their lives, I'm not just saying this because you're sitting in front of me. You just happen to be sitting here and affirming it. It's all about the nervous system. Mm-hmm. It's all about the body.
Yeah.
And like, if you can, which is why your work is so important. It is so important. And it really is the bridge that helps women get from where they are to where they really want to be. And you show them the path. And thank you for doing the work that you're doing because it's, I think it's here to next to like maybe plant medicine, yeah. Like here to heal humanity. If people can regulate their nervous systems, it doesn't just create healing and safety. It creates magic.
Yeah.
Like actual magic in human form.
Yeah, it does.
So thank you for doing the work that you do.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for seeing me.
Oh, clearly
seeing. And plant medicine is, we can go on a whole different.
Yeah. That's a whole episode.
And somatics, they are the same.
Yes, they are.
They open up the same part.
Yeah.
Of you that needs to be healed.
We'll have you come back and talk about that next. Okay. I have a few final quick fire questions for you, okay?
Yeah.
I ask every guest, what are your favorite business book? What's your favorite business book and your favorite spiritual book?
Oh my gosh, my favorite business book. Gosh.
I know it's a hard one.
This is a hard one. My favorite business book. The Big Leap.
I fucking love The Big Leap.
Yeah, I think that's probably it.
That's a good one.
I mean, I was like going through so many in my head, but that's probably my favorite business book. So good. My favorite spiritual book. Oh my gosh, I've read so many. You know, I've read a lot of spiritual books. And I don't know, when you work in the spiritual realm, I think that you start to really get into quantum physics and understanding the quantum field, it starts to get really nerdy and sciencey, and which I love. But the book that had the most profound impact on me and stepping into my spiritual journey, and it happened probably 7-8 years ago, was The Universe Has Your Back by Gabby Bernstein. Mm. And I don't really resonate a lot with Gabby's stuff. I mean, I love her stuff, obviously.
Yeah, I was the same.
But that was like my initiation totally. to getting into spiritual
work.
She
was my spiritual like gateway drug.
Yeah, same.
Back
same.
In the day. Yeah.
Same. And so for whatever reason, whenever anybody asks that question, that's the one that, I don't know, like the light bulb clicked on for me with that book.
Those are so important, those moments in those books. It's great. Love that you answered that. Do you have a spiritual or like a goddess or a deity or an angel or an ancestor that you feel personally connected to?
I do. Yeah. My grandmother, she, and you know, I have a whole spirit squad that I kind of turn my life over to, a lot of archangels that I pray to and spend time with. But my grandmother is hands down my wisest, most sat with spiritual mentor.
Wow.
Yeah. And I have her name. I have her. Can I tell a quick story?
Please.
Okay. So I was struggling in the spiritual world. I had read The Universe Has Your Back, and I grew up Catholic, I was really struggling with my faith and believing in something at that same time, 8 years ago when everything crumbled. And I had a moment where I was like, okay, God, universe, if you're real, I need something from my grandmother and I want you to show me something that's written. And I went to my family. Nobody had anything. Like, we could not find anything that was written from her. Said that, surrendered it. I was like, okay, well, it's not real. Let it go. A couple days later, I was woken up out of the sleep and I heard, go to your guest room closet. Go to my guest room closet, open it up. There was a box. Something was calling me to pick this box up. It was an old Michael Jordan shoebox. I was like, what? It was the middle of the night. It was like 3 a.m. Get out the shoebox, open it up, and it's all of these letters from like past boyfriends in high school. I'm like, why am I being called to look at these? And at the bottom of the box, like I shit you not, at the bottom of the box, very bottom, there was this butterfly card. And I picked it up and I opened it up and it was a letter that my grandmother had written to me when I was 6 years old that said, like, I love the woman that you're becoming. I love you. You're amazing. Like all these really beautiful things. And I realized in that moment, like, this shit's real.
Yeah.
Wow. You know? And so she wrote, I love you at the end of the card. And
that's what this is.
This is my tattoo. So she is hands down my most visited, most sat with. Like, she's here in the room with us now. That's.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. I love that story. Yeah. I often say that we are our grandmother's greatest dreams. What we can create in life today as women is what they didn't even know they could dream. So anyway.
Oh, cold chills.
Yeah. Do you believe in aliens? Yes or no?
Yes.
You are an alien.
Yes. Like 100%.
We're from the same constellation.
We are.
100%. For sure. I see it in your eyes. The second I met you, it's like, oh, we were split from the same society up there.
Yep.
It's so true. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. To stare into your eyes is like a whole world, by the way. Final question. What does it mean to you, Lauren, to be a co-creator of the new earth?
Gosh. Well, I'll say that it's a big fucking deal.
Yeah, it is.
That's what it means to me. And we have to stay. I think that women are being called into sovereignty to everything we talked about today, the whole frequency ladder of understanding how that applies to you and how you want to show up, not just for yourself, but for your children, for the women who are in your circle. Like, we have a really, really sacred duty right now to show up as sovereign women and show the world what they've lost truly, like what it means to remember and come back home to ourselves. And I know it's the path that you're on.
I was just, we're such sisters.
Yeah. It's the path I'm on too. Yeah. And we're all starting to recognize it in each other.
In each other. Yeah.
That's what it means.
We come together and we link arms and we rise together.
Together.
Because you can fly higher when you're together.
Together. Oh, and that resonates so deeply.
Yeah.
With where I am.
So. Well, I love you. I love you. And this was everything. And I know that they're going to go find you. Check out Lauren's platform, follow you on social. We're gonna leave all the things, jump into one of her master classes. She's magic. Thank you for bringing your magic today.
Yeah, thank you for seeing me
crystal clearly.